This is a Mary Baker Eddy Institute prayer treatment. Website mbeinstitute.org. If you have not recently listened to the introductory to the prayer treatments, it is suggested you do that. I believe it's around seven or eight minutes long. It will be very helpful in understanding this and all prayer treatments. The title to this prayer treatment is 1 to 7, meaning that it includes all seven synonymous terms for God. So it's 1 to 7, God, Kingpin. All roads lead to Kingdom of Heaven. What is a kingpin? A kingpin is one who is in control of his domain. A residence where one lives is typically referred to as the kingdom of the ones that are in charge of the home, the residence. It could be the man, it could be the woman, or it could be a joint, shared responsibility. The real kingdom is one's consciousness. Everyone should be in charge of their own consciousness unless they are a dependent, and then they should be guided by whomever is the one that is in charge of the dependent. If one has a dependent and lets them do as they please, they are being a very poor guardian. Every dependent needs a guardian. Every guardian needs to take care of the dependent. In a classroom situation, the guardian would be the teacher. In a home, the guardian should be a combination of the mother and father. Those are just some examples. If we are seeking to elevate our spirituality, then we must recognize that there is only one kingpin, and that is God. For as we understand more and more about God, we will realize that there is only one God, and that one God is the kingpin of everything that is good. So if we want to strive to learn more about what God is, what good is, and what God's manifestation is, which is man, that's you and me, then one of the first things we need to learn is that God is in control. That control is through the application of the function of mind. Mind represents everything that is mental. There are seven synonymous terms for God, and the definition of God on page 465 lays it out as the most important first definition of God that is comprehensive, in that it is in chapter 14, which is a summary chapter, recap or recapitulation of the first 13 chapters. So if Mary Baker Eddy puts it in chapter 14, you know it is extremely important because it summarizes the 13 chapters previous. So here's what she says in chapter 14. And 14 is consisting of 24 questions and answers. And this is the very first question and answer that tells you something very important. That is, this is the most important topic in the entire first 13 sections, 13 chapters, 13 topics. From page 465 of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. 1. What is God? answer. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That is the end of the definition, and there is no punctuation before the first of the seven synonymous terms noted, which is mind. That is telling us that all four of those adjectives of incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite are all of equal weight, all applying to the seven synonymous terms. So, in other words, mind is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Spirit is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. And that goes with the other five. All seven have those qualities. Now, a further connection is the connection between the four sides of the city, which are explained in Revelation of the New Testament of the Bible, and the seven synonymous terms. And again, this is more fully elaborated in the introductory recording, so I will not repeat what is in there, but essentially, those four sides of the city are adjectives, as mentioned, and they apply to each of the seven synonymous terms. The first one of the four sides of the city is entitled by Mary Baker Eddy, the Word. The second one, Christ. Third, Christianity. And fourth, science. And there are also four levels of consciousness. Again, I will not cover those because they are covered in the introductory recording. When we study, we must be aware of all three of these factors. What synonymous term is the primary topic? What is the operator that is applied to that primary term? And what level of consciousness does it address? If one does not understand those three elements, they are going to think that they are reading about a contradiction by the author. And there is not a single thing in the textbook that is a contradiction. One will find that if they get out of their kingdom, whatever they're referring to, their consciousness or their residence, a business that they own, whatever type of kingdom that they're referring to, that they will find that the world is filled with conflict. We have a large collection of videos and slideshows that depict the characteristics of Bruce Lee, by far the greatest martial artist of all time. The reason is that he was the greatest because guess what he did? Martial art is a form of fighting. He never lost. Why did he never lose? Because he never did any fighting. His concept of martial arts was to remove the conflict from any conflict. The fight was designed to have conflict, to say who was the best fighter. His consciousness was at such a high level of spirituality that he became a master at removing the conflict in the intended conflict. When somebody would swing all of their strength in their fist or their foot or their head, arm, whatever they wanted to use of their body to make contact with the opponent, he mastered how to disappear. So he was never there. So they would only put all of their strength into an empty space. And it was very easy for them to fall to the floor, fighting themselves. Mary Baker Eddy gives us another view of God on page 587. God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And on the same page, the definition of good. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Omniscience has been explained to be omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, omni-knowing. Now, if you look at those three definitions, what is missing? Something extremely important is missing. Mary Baker Eddy didn't overlook it. In fact, she has an entire chapter on what is missing from the definition of God. But it's something that we have to know about. Otherwise, we cannot be successful in healing. And she makes that very clear in the textbook. In fact, it is so important for us to understand where it fits into the process of healing that Mary Baker Eddy could not get her first edition of Science and Health published until she wrote that chapter. She thought the first edition was absolutely complete and perfect because she spent between 1866 and 1875, the year it was published, 1866 being the year she discovered Christian Science, she spent that ensuing time in proving what is in the textbook was accurate. But she didn't write about something that she found out was very important in the healing work, but she did not put it in the textbook. And therefore, the publisher absolutely froze in his shoes. He didn't do a thing in terms of putting out the book that was promised to be done promptly. But when she realized what was missing, she wrote the chapter. It's only like 7 pages, but very important. And as soon as she had the transcript done, she headed to the publisher to add that to the book. She had it complete in her thought. He realized that, so he headed to meet her with the rest of the book published, except without that chapter because he didn't have the transcript from Mary Baker Eddy. And they met in one of the train stations where they had to change trains. Now, if you don't think God had a hand in that timing, think again. When we do our protective work, so many things happen to us that would not otherwise happen. Timing, very, very important functionality of our life. Protection. There's no words that can explain the wonderful things that happen in our life when we are earnestly studying on a systematic basis and really seeking to be on the path of infinite progression, working toward concrete being. That's a statement by Mary Baker Eddy. So, what is missing? What was missing in the textbook? It has nothing to do with the quality of God, and that's why it's not in the definition of God. but it certainly has everything to do with how our knowledge of God is applied to our life. God did not write that chapter. He wrote the other chapters, but not that one. That one was written by Mary Baker Eddy. She claims that she's not the author of the textbook. She said that she was a scribe unto orders. And she was for the other 17 chapters. But that chapter, she was not. She had to work that out through her own demonstration. So what is missing? If one looks at the four levels of consciousness, it will be very easy to identify. And that was discussed in the recording that is an introduction to the prayer treatments. And it is explained on page 115 and 116 of the textbook, the four levels of consciousness. We have to be aware of those, as well as the four operators and the seven synonymous terms and how they all work together. If anything is missing from the formula for success, then they will fail. Or at best, they will be able to heal inconsistently. The only consistent way is to follow her formula, which she gives us in the textbook, but she does not explain it. The reason she does not connect all the dots is that no one understood, except for one of her students, what it was all about. In fact, she had her home in Concord, New Hampshire, open on a July 4 holiday so that anyone that wanted to could come there and visit. There were about 2,000 people. And remember, this was 116 years ago, or actually more than that, probably 120, maybe 122. It was in the early 1900s and prior to 1906. So somewhere between 1900 and 1906. Think about the limitation of transportation. They came from all over the United States, even the West Coast. Some may have even come from overseas. There were about 2,000 there. And Mary Baker Eddy looked over the whole group from her balcony, where she could easily see everyone, and that's where she spoke from to address them all. She told Laura Sargent, one of her most loyal, advanced students that lived in the home with her, along with another 8 or 10 students, and she told Laura, "I look out over this crowd, and there's not one single Christian Scientist that I see." She knew how to read the human thoughts of all 2,000 people. And they all had an absence of spirituality. They had an abundance of unfounded faith because they didn't understand Christian Science. So it was a blind faith because of her success. Just like 11 of the 12 disciples of Jesus had a blind faith. No one understood what Jesus was doing, bar one, and that was John, the beloved disciple, the one that met with Jesus on the island of Patmos, and Jesus came back after his resurrection and met with John, and they worked on Revelation together, the Apocalypse, the 16th chapter of Science and Health. It's all recorded in Robert C. Putnam's 10 Bible Lessons. It's on the website. Now, as you may have concluded, if there are four levels of consciousness, even without looking at the textbook, one must be able to imagine or deduce from a logical syllogism that the highest level must be the most incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. The one that is reflecting mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. The one that is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All-substance, intelligence. The one that is God, spirit, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, omniaction. That's got to be it. And you know the one word that describes all of those, and that is God. So God must be at the top of the food chain. The buck stops with him. He is the kingpin. He is the ruler of the kingdom of heaven. We are nothing by ourselves, because we are reflection. Genesis 1 tells us very clearly in verse 27 that God made man in his image and after his likeness. But what did God do? In that same series of Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God gave man dominion over everything. Everything below the earth, above the earth, on the earth. That means even the fowl of the air flying around. That means all the fish in the ocean. All the land. Everything under the land. All the minerals, which are only symbols for value. But the true value is not in a mineral. It's in what, it's in the qualities that they represent, which are qualities of God. One of them is gold. Gold has some very valuable qualities that no other metal has. The same with silver. The same with many other minerals. They are all unique. Our, what is termed our human body, is very unique. There are no two that are the same, but yet every single one reflects the qualities of God. The fingernails represent the fine details of spirituality. The arm represents strength. The brain is a symbol for intelligence. Only if it is reflecting the intelligence of God. If it's reflecting impromptu compassion and emotion, ego, all of the kinds of things that are ungodlike, then it's not a reflection of intelligence. If our arm is used for evil acts, it's not a symbol of power. If our eyes are seeing evil things, evil people, and involved in doing evil things, either by itself or with others, then it does not reflect the vision of spirit. Spirit is the only substance, and it is flawless. If we want to be the kingpin of our kingdom, which is noted is our consciousness, then we have to be reflecting the qualities of God. If we are not reflecting the qualities of God, we have no control over anything. God gave man, spiritual man, dominion. Not mortal man, not egotistical man, not biased man, not materialistic man, not a wealthy in matter man, spiritual man. Verse 26 of Genesis says, "And God said, let us make man after our image and likeness." Mary Baker Eddy describes in the chapter of Genesis, which is chapter 15, which is the key to the scriptures portion of the textbook. 15, 16, 17, and 18 are the key to the scriptures. 1 through 14 is science and health. But if we don't have the key, we cannot understand the first 14 chapters. That's why she gives us the details first, and then she gives us the keys so we can understand the details. We cannot understand the details if we don't have the keys. If you count the number of definitions in the glossary for Adam, you probably will not even come close to knowing how to count them. We know of one man that understood how to do it. He was a very good friend of the Institute, Mary Baker Eddy Institute, the Institute that I'm representing when I provide these prayer treatments. And he determined exactly how to count the definitions in the glossary for Adam. He's the only one that figured it out. To our understanding and appreciation, he was the most advanced in understanding what Mary Baker Eddy said on page 146. Again, you will find this in the introduction recording. He understood what Mary Baker Eddy was saying on page 146. And on page 330, 146, she said that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. And on 330, she says there's 32 planks to the system, to the platform. And of course, the idea is that we stand on the platform and we build up our individual consciousness from that platform. She does not build up our consciousness for us. She gives us the outstanding foundation as a solid base. And then it's up to us to apply it. She gave us the four operators to be applied to the seven synonymous terms and the four levels of consciousness to understand and put the final connecting dots together. But she didn't do it for us. She said it would be another 50 years before anyone would understand enough about Christian Science to be able to understand anything about the system. The bureaucracy of the church preached forever, starting with the same day she passed on. Said, don't even think about using a formula in your healing work. What do you think would happen if we didn't use any formulas in mathematics or any other so-called physical science, such as physics or chemistry? We're supposed to be using chemistry for the good of the population. and not make something that we are using on a daily consumption level that has poison in it. But unfortunately, the opposite has happened, and poison is in almost everything we eat and drink. But that's going away, thanks to the present administration and the good people that are working to get rid of the swamp. So we have to make sure that we're not just blindly letting emotion control us. And that is covered in chapter 5, which was the final chapter that she wrote before she could publish the book, before the publisher would do it for her. He wouldn't touch it. He did the rest of it, but he wouldn't give her the whole thing. He wouldn't give her the transcript. He was being directed by divine mind not to do it. He didn't communicate it to her. He just flat didn't do it. He probably had every excuse in the book why he didn't do it, but the truth is it wasn't ready. It wasn't complete. It was missing the most important element in order to understand how Christian Science operates. The title of that chapter is Animal Magnetism Unmasked. Animal magnetism is the term that is used to describe animals. And we are of the animal race, the animal gender, from a human level. Do you ever do anything based on emotion? Almost everything we do is based on emotion. Only if we are a conscientious student of Christian Science are we weaning away from that evil. And that's exactly what emotion is, an evil. The worst thing one can do is to do it on impulse, materialistic impulse. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's done on impulse, it's evil. Only after careful consideration of how the seven synonymous terms can and should be applied before an important decision is made will the decision be made without flaw. When we make important decisions and they are flawed, it can bring the exact opposite result of the correct one. I know. I have a whole closet full of mistakes that when I was involved in making the decisions, they appeared to be the correct one. But I was blind. We are all blind if we are not applying the seven synonymous terms with the operators and understanding the level that we're dealing with and put it all together, connect all the dots. And remember Ben Franklin, how he made valid decisions. He used a T-chart, a vertical line going down the center of a portrait view of a piece of paper, or it could be a landscape, but down the middle, vertical, that divided it between two parts, and a horizontal line at the top. And the left side would be, what are the advantages if one says yes to a decision that confronts them? And on the right side, what are the negative things that happen if he says yes? And if you don't have a strong advantage, then you should not do it. The idea is to not say yes until everything lines up with it, until you have reduced every negative to a zero, and every positive you see clearly that it is correct. And then very simply, you let the T-chart make the decision for you. And of course, this was used back in the 1700s. We now have all kinds of tools that they didn't have. They didn't even have the printing press. No copy machines, no computers, no internet. But they had time to contemplate. And they did it by candlelight. They didn't have to. They did it by candlelight because they were ignorant to the fact that all the energy in the world that we need for electricity is all around us and below us. The air is filled with it. Our body is filled with it. The ground beneath us is filled with it. And it wasn't until Nikola Tesla came along and proved it by walking down the street holding a light bulb that was lit with nothing attached to it except his hand. And yet, ever since that time, we continued as if that had never been invented, discovered, or understood. Because we were controlled by evil. And so they created a whole industry of electrical generation, putting up dams, all kinds of things to create electricity, solar panels, all a waste. Because they wanted to enslave the population by stealing money from them for the usage of electricity that was generated that did not even have to be generated, because we have it all around us and in the ground and in our own body. God gave us everything we needed. And our body, the one you see as a physical body, is merely a symbol of all of the various kinds and qualities of God. That's why the body is such a miracle. It has everything that functions with all of these kinds of complexities. And everything can be reduced to the qualities of seven terms. The seven synonymous terms for God. Our hearing is for understanding. Again, everything is a symbol. And our real body is not what you see as a physical thing. Our real body is our entire life. Everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. Jesus told us that thinking about something is the same as doing it. Why? Because it's in consciousness. Everything in consciousness is a part of our true body. We're not talking about something that is opaque, that we can touch, and that supposedly has the sensation of feeling, and has intuition, and we can taste, all in addition to seeing and hearing. But we don't know it. We're ignorant because we're not studying Christian Science, which explains it all. Everything is explained by Christian Science. And why? Because Christian Science is based on the Golden Rule. And when you thoroughly understand the Golden Rule, you will never, ever, ever want to violate it. Because if you thoroughly understand it, you will realize that the only power you can ever have is the good you do for other people. That's it. That's the source of every element of power. Mary Baker Eddy said, the only power obtainable is the good we do and embody. Do for others and embody it within ourselves so that it is the natural way to conduct every thought, speech, and action. Every taste, every smell, every feeling must be on a spiritual basis. The verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1 that was referred to earlier said, "And let us make man in our image and likeness." What do you think the word "let" means? One of the popular images of Jesus, and we have it on our website, is him standing at a door, knocking on it. What do you think that symbolizes? He's knocking on the door of consciousness. Are you going to let me in? As Mary Baker Eddy said, he was the greatest man that ever trod the globe. Are we going to look at his example? No doubt Mary Baker Eddy was the greatest woman that ever trod the globe. Are we going to look at her example? Jesus had one sincere follower and a couple of others that didn't give up on him. One was Mary Magdalene, the one he healed of a past of ill repute, and his mother, Mary. Those three were at the crucifixion, and there were a couple of others, but those three in particular recognized who Jesus really was. One disciple out of 12. One out of 12. Should we be concerned if we do something really good for someone and they don't even thank us? What does a thank you mean to us? Is it soothing our ego? If so, it's better if no one thanks us. Jesus had one out of 12 that thanked him, one out of 10 lepers that thanked him. We should not live on ego. Forget whether someone thanks you. Do the right thing, and you will be thanked by the power of the universal laws that govern everybody and everything. Because you will have the power working for you. No human can give you a thank you that is as significant as that. It's impossible. The key to a life of progress is to make sure the kingpin, not your kingpin, God, the kingpin of heaven, is in place in your consciousness, and you are giving it number one priority with all five of your senses: seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste. Those five senses, the spiritual nature of them, are explained on our website under that term, five spiritual senses. They are summarized in various places on the website, as well as when you click on that link in the menu, which also provides five additional pages which elaborate on those five senses. Remember, spirit is the only substance, and spirit is flawless. One of the greatest metaphysicians of all time is Frederick L. Rawson. He discovered how to go back in time and heal. He said, "We're on this planet for one purpose, and that is to make other people happy." He had 15-minute appointments in his office, as did two other ones that are noted on the website. At the end of 15 minutes, it didn't matter what the problem was. When the individual walked in his office, when he walked out, it was healed. He had such a clear understanding of what God was all about, and man as his image and likeness. It is an individual salvation to work out. What do you want? Do you want a life filled with deviation from the constant assurance of what the kingdom of heaven provides? And that's obviously within our own consciousness. It's not some physical place that we travel to. It's always been available. What did Mary Baker Eddy do to make sure that even though she was attacked constantly by everyone around her, the entire church, board of directors, they wanted to get her committed. They thought because she lived to such a ripe age, she was 90, that they'd be able to get her committed. They tried to do it one time through a thing called Good Friend Suit, and they sent out a team of psychologists and psychiatrists to interview her. They found that she was one of the sharpest people they ever interviewed. They couldn't believe someone of her age could be sharp as a tack. But she was. She didn't depend on a human brain. She depended on the intelligence of God. So what did she do to keep her thought on track? If you go to the menu, and up at the top is Mary Baker Eddy, and click on Articles, read the one that says The Secret. She discovered the secret to instantaneous healing. And it's a very simple formula. We have it incorporated into our Effective Healing page on the website. We emphasize it strongly. If you're interested in learning, you have to have an open thought. There's another extremely important article on the website, only a page and a half long, and that is by Dr. Fluno, F-L-U-N-O, and it's on the topic of criticism. There's one more article by Mary Baker Eddy, listed in the same list as the one referred to you a moment ago, and look for it under the title of Seeing or Vision. Now those three sources are references to keep you on the right track. But this is what she did that was a tactic, so that the three article content is well embedded in her thought all day long. Every hour, she stopped whatever project she was working on and devoted whatever time she felt was needed. It was probably, I'm guessing, maybe 2 to 5 minutes, and focus on what's in those three articles. Question herself. Am I blaming anyone for anything? Am I angry at anyone? Am I seeing everyone as a perfect image and likeness of the perfect God? Am I realizing nothing anyone can think, say, or do can hurt me if I protect against it with preventative prayer? And we have a recent one on prayer, and it's basically two functions. One is pray the way we and the textbook teaches you or offers it for you to learn. And the other is to take all of the... So basically, every hour, and she was probably up a good 18 hours every day. So if you figure that she probably devoted 2 hours a day, that'd be like, say, 5 minutes every hour. And if she was up like 18 hours, I mean, that's what it takes, because our brain has been programmed to reject anything that it does not believe to be true. That means anything that disagrees with what it believes now. And you're going to be introducing everything that it doesn't know now, unless you're already along the path. And then you're going to be introducing more. The presentation on the website that says effective healing, and the 3 additional pages that say how to heal everything, that gives you everything you need to know. Because it basically gives you a procedure to follow to cultivate your own self-improvement. We don't profess to have all of the answers for your individual circumstance, but we know how you can obtain it by following the formula, the system, the science that we give you under those 2 topics of effective healing and how to heal everything. And we know it works. How do we know it? Because there's 101 pages at the end of the textbook that describes 486 healings by 85 people. That's just under 6 apiece. And they were looking to heal one thing, and they discovered on average that they had 5 more things that needed to be healed. And everything was healed automatically by just studying how to learn more about God and man and the relationship. And the less you think about the problem and more about the solution, which means you're not going to be thinking about evil except very little, and that's just to deny that it has any influence or power over you. And the rest of the time is going to be devoting your consciousness to filling it with the facts about God, and therefore the facts about you, because you reflect God. And there is the formula in a nutshell. You have to be consistent. Richard Strain was at the bottom of the rope. He was devoting 18 hours a day away from his home, and he didn't feel he was making any progress in his profession. He didn't have any confidence in anything except Christian Science. So he went to a Christian Science practitioner that he felt he could trust to tell him the truth. I don't know whether he expected her to heal him or whether he expected her to advise how he should be changing his life, whatever. But what he did is he had the appointment and he told her, "I'm working 18 hours a day, not making any progress. I'm home only 6 hours. And that includes the time, the 6 hours that I need to use for probably cleaning up, taking a shower, eating dinner, eating breakfast the next morning, spending whatever he can time with his family, and sleeping the remaining time. Probably 3 hours a night, maybe 4. And he said, "I don't know what to do." She had one question to ask him. "When do you study?" He was surprised. He thought he had explained everything well enough, and she was surprised he hadn't thought about it. He said, I don't study at all. I don't have any time. She didn't have any more conversation with him. She just made one more statement. She said, if you do not study 5 hours a day, you're not going to work out of your problem. If he did that, he would only have 1 hour left out of the 6 hours that he was home. 1 hour. And he had to eat twice, a late dinner at night, early breakfast before he left, visit with his wife and children or whatever family situation he had to take care of. So there wouldn't be any sleep time at all. But she didn't say anything else. She just said, if you don't study 5 hours a day, you're not going to work out of your problem. Imagine him hanging over a cliff, holding on to a rope, slipping probably. I took a class one time in Christian Science, and the speaker said, if you feel you're at the end of the rope, tie a knot and hang on. I don't know how you do that if you're hanging at the end of the rope. You better pull yourself up and then tie the knot and then hang. Hold on with your hands as tightly as you can. So she gave him the bottom line. She didn't mince words. She didn't tell him what to study, how to study, when it was going to be. So after sitting there silently and trying to figure out how in the world he's going to do this, he told her. He said, okay, I'm going to do it. That's all he said. There's no more conversation recorded in what I read. That was the end of it, and he walked out. Now, what's the conclusion? What's the result? He reported back later that by the end of 1 week, his schedule had improved so much and he got so much more done at work that he had time to come home and study 5 hours. So that's what he did. He then had 11 hours a day, 5 to study, plus what he was doing before. It wasn't any extended period of time, but sometime afterwards, he became a popular speaker at churches. Now, I'm not saying or recommending that for anybody to do, but I'm just saying that he got such a good control of his life that he was invited to speak at other churches. If you find one church right now that really is devoted to studying Christian Science and really loyal to what Mary Baker Eddy tells us to do in our study, then you're lucky. Because there's very few on planet Earth. There used to be 40 or 50 Christian Science churches in the large cities. Now, if you find 2 or 3, you're probably going to be lucky. And of those, how many are really following what Mary Baker Eddy taught and clearly stated on page 146 and 330 that she reduced it to a system? Would we try to utilize mathematics without using the system? If we're a physicist, same thing. A chemist. Anything in life. A homemaker. Any business. Are we utilizing the laws that have already been discovered about what our topic is? And yet forgetting what Mary Baker Eddy tells us how to study? That it has to be by a system? And that system has been discovered and elaborated. We have it on our website. We're one of the few that you're going to find anything about it. Our website is copyrighted, so there should not be another website that copies our information from our website. It's available for individuals to use, but for companies to copy it, they're violating the copyright law. We had one person contact us that said they wanted to build a whole website and use everything we had on our website. And that's a Christian Scientist. We don't take anything from another website without permission and without giving them credit. And if one does not have a solid sense of honesty, following the golden rule, then they cannot progress in Christian Science and the system of divine metaphysics. It's that simple. Honesty is paramount. I will close by reciting one of the most powerful reminders of a prayer that anyone can ever utilize and apply it individually for your particular situation by supplementing or replacing a couple of key words. And we know it produces healing because we've had experience with it within the Institute and others that have reported their experiences. But you can't just read words. Reading the words is to try to condition your thought so it would be receptive to learning new truth. The Bible tells us there is nothing new under the sun. But that doesn't mean there's nothing new that our own consciousness is not aware of. Every day, new things unfold to me, and they will you also, if you really study sincerely and following the science and the system that is explained on the website, on the pages referred to, that will give you a path that is pointed in one direction, and that is success. We know it works. The entire chapter 18 on fruitage of the 486 healings are based on the system that we have outlined, and our system is much more comprehensive than what is in the textbook. Because the final edition of the textbook was written in 1910. They didn't have copy machines, they didn't have voice recorders, they didn't have MP players, MP3 players. They didn't have any way to actually utilize fully what we can with the tools we have available now. Here is the prayer to which I referred a few minutes ago, and it's entitled The Scientific Statement of Being. And after I say amen and pause for a few seconds so it doesn't interfere with the reverence of the prayer, I will then explain in a couple of minutes of how to use it to individualize it for a particular ailment. So here is the scientific statement of being, and it's recited from page 468 of the textbook, which again is the 14th chapter, which is the one that summarizes chapters 1 to 13. The Scientific Statement of Being by Mary Baker Eddy. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Amen. Here is a procedure that you can use to apply that prayer to your particular situation to heal whatever it is that you need to heal. And as stated before, just repeating the words will do very little. It will bring about a leaven in your consciousness so that it will be more prepared to be able to receive new information, which will reverse the information that it believes to be true. For example, it believes that matter is the only real substance, something that you can touch, feel, taste, smell. You can see it. You can hear it. So what you need to do is you need to either supplement or replace the word matter, and I like to supplement it, with something like this. Let's suppose you have a broken arm. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. My arm is not comprised of matter. It is spiritual, because it tells us that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that everything about me is a reflection of God, and I know God is perfect. And then you take the next verse. There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter or in a broken arm. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. The belief of a broken arm is mortal error. Spirit is real and eternal. The belief in a broken arm is unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and I am God's image and likeness. I am an individual manifestation of man, and therefore I am made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, I am not material. Therefore, there cannot be a broken arm for anyone, because the only man that exists is spiritual. Therefore, I am spiritual, and spirit is flawless, the only real substance. And therefore, I am not subject to any of the so-called laws of matter. I am only subject to my source, which is God, the only creator, the only revealer of truth. And there's nothing new under the sun, and therefore this has always been true about me, that man's arm has always been perfect. Therefore, my arm has always been perfect, and it is perfect right now. God is perfect, and I am perfect. Amen. It is 10:28, Sunday morning, August 30, 2026. The topic of this prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org, is 1 to 7, meaning that it covers all 7 of the synonymous terms: God, the Kingpin, and all roads lead to the Kingdom of Heaven. Thank you for listening. The end.